Romance is as old as Adam and Eve and the light of the moon. Yet, as I mentioned in your study book, this sexual part of marriage is perhaps the least spoken to. It is, however, one of the most important. Calvin Miller shares some dynamic insights into the Christian love that wanted to snuggle but only shook hands in his book, That Elusive Thing Called Joy. Sexual attraction has often made us fearful of itself. Oh, yes, we argued, God put it there, but it is too much the glutton. It overeats, and yet it is hungry. It barely finishes dessert, and then it starts looking for the hors d'oeuvres again. Mentally, it nibbles its way between meals. Often we have felt powerless before its demands, and so we simply pretend it isn't there. Let's everybody talk about God and read our Bibles, and maybe it will go away. Thus, on page 110 of the chapter, for any who doubt, I declare that there is nothing ungodly about our sexuality. It is only sin that perverts it. The love between you and your wife cannot be put down as a glandular snag to spiritual maturity. After the commitments are made firm before Christ and the courts, we may rise from the same bed and embrace in the full pleasure of God. Though some Christian marriages, in spite of Christ, are lifelong prisons of sexual unhappiness, they do have the most impressive record for endurance, and in today's press, for enjoyment. Recently, an article in Time magazine began, "Does religious fervor lead to a richer sex life?" Well, maybe so, because in a current issue of Red Book magazine, it reports on a computer analysis of over 18,000 responses to a professionally prepared questionnaire on sexual attitudes and practices. The survey shows that strongly religious women report more sexual satisfaction and better communication with their husbands than fairly religious women. At the bottom of the happiness scale are non-religious women. Red Book editors admit to being astounded by the correlation between religion and successful lovemaking. Well, they ought not to be astounded. God's ways prove true even through 20th century surveys. The unhappy Christian marriage can exist, husbands, only when we apathetically pursue or ignore altogether the profound values of the happiness of our sexual relationship. The sex drive, according to many Bible passages, is to be given free expression in marriage. As an example, let us consider the passage on sexual intimacy in Proverbs 5:15 through 20. Proverbs 5:15 says, "Drink waters out of thine own cistern, and running waters out of thine own well." This verse prohibits permissiveness and extramarital sex. Proverbs 5:16 says, "Let thy fountains be dispersed abroad, and rivers of waters in the streets." Sexual expressiveness should have complete freedom within the husband-wife relationship. Sexual stinginess is never advocated by Scripture. Proverbs 5:18 commands, "Let thy fountain be blessed, and rejoice with the wife of thy youth." This verse refers to the rapture and joy that comes from a sexual climax. The phrase, "wife of thy youth," found in several other places in Scripture, indicates that the man is never to share sex with anyone other than the person he married back when he was young. In the later years of the marriage, your wife may not be as endowed with physical beauty as she was when you were both young. Finally, Proverbs 5:19 says, "Let her be as a loving hind and pleasant roe. Let her breasts satisfy thee at all times, and be thou ravished always with her love." Here again is emphasized liberality in sexual relationships, and the pleasantness of sexual foreplay is here suggested. Many passages like this one deal openly with the importance and beauty of Christian sex. The sexuality taught by the Scriptures is as clear as it is practical. Granted, there is a tendency in the current sex-soaked culture in which we live to make sex stand for love instead of seeing it as God intended it, a response to love. And you know, it's my prayer that there will come an ever-increasing joy in your own sexual relationships through imitating the giving and responding love of our gracious God.